we're back. Welcome to Speak Up Las Cruces. For the next hour and a half, we're going to be talking about the county sheriff's race. And we're going to start for the first 45 minutes speaking with the Democrats. We have Rafael Reyes Jr. on the phone. Everybody else is here in studio with us. And so, first of all, I want to thank you all so much for joining us. And start out by just giving you each a minute or so to tell us a little bit about yourself, about your experience, and your decision as to why you decided to run for the county sheriff's office. And please take a minute to, as I said in the explanation, before you start all of your, because we're on radio, before you start all of your answers, please make sure you identify yourself for the listeners. And so, Mr. Reyes, since you're on the phone, we'll give you the first crack. Please go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners.
Thank you. Thank you, and good morning, Radio World. My name is Rafael Reyes, and I'm running for Doñana County Sheriff. Over my 25-year federal law enforcement career, I've served and led at every level of command. I've run task forces, supervised specialized units, commanded shifts of more than 70 federal agents, led stations of over 300 personnel. As deputy chief, I was responsible for a workforce of 3,200 employees. I've led in crisis and calm and in the kind of situations where the wrong decision becomes tomorrow's headline. My career has taken me into armored convoys in Mexico, negotiating security cooperation, into Congress, advancing my law enforcement priorities. I've led multi-agency operations targeting the criminal networks that fuel violence and narcotics trafficking. I've held senior internal affairs responsibilities, investigating misconduct at the highest levels of my agency. So I know what accountability looks like. I've mastered experience with education, earning undergraduate and graduate degrees from the Community College of the Air Force, New Mexico State University, and the U.S. Army's Command and General Staff College. I've had the privilege of attending executive law enforcement training at the Senior Management Institute for Police at Boston University. And I'm a graduate of the FBI National Academy, 276 session. My vision for the Sheriff's Department.
We'll get into that. I just want the introduction at this point.
So okay. Thank you.
We're trying to keep it to a minute each, so we have more time for question and answer.
Gabriel.
You need to get closer to the mic.
Yes.
All right. Gabriel Lozano, please.
Okay, that's me.
That's you.
My name is Gabriela Lozano, and I'm also one of the candidates, the Democratic candidates for Doñana County Sheriff's. My background's a little different than everybody else's. I don't come with, you know, years of experience in patrol. My background is mostly in emergency communications. I now serve as an intelligence analyst, and I serve the alphabet agencies, DEA, FBI, HSI is mostly what I focus on. I spent years in community advocacy, and really I think the reason why I chose to run was I think we need some transparency, a different type of leadership. I understand the community, and I'm ready to serve the county.
John Day, we catch you with your...
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm John Day. I've completed a 22-year career with the Doñana County Sheriff's Office, retiring in December 2025 as the highest rank achievable without being appointed or elected as major. I've decided to run for sheriff because I believe of all my competitors, who are all good people, that I have the most experience to be able to help this county move forward and truly have safe communities. I'm very much concerned about the rising and violent crime that we have within Doñana County, the fact that we've had an increase in property thefts within Doñana County, and the need for us to have far more collaborative efforts to solve the mental health illness problems we have within this county. And so my background has been a graduate from Gaston High School, a graduate from New Mexico State University. I'm a father of the family that lives here in the county, and I believe very much in wanting to increase our safety and to protect our people. So great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. James Fritz.
Thank you, Walt. My name is James Fritz, candidate for Doñana County Sheriff. I've been born and raised here in Doñana County, with the exception of 5 years living in Espanola when I was in the state police. I graduated from New Mexico State University and immediately then went into the New Mexico State Police Academy, where I served 25 years honorably, having retired as a commander for the Las Cruces District. I have 13 years experience as a supervisor covering the gamut of everything applicable for law enforcement. I was a detective as well. I was a member of our tactical team as well as crisis negotiation team. Moving forward, I'm a private investigator where currently investigate insurance claims from State Risk Management Association of Counties and Municipal League. And bringing forward this experience that I've had for 25 years plus the time that I've been retired at this time, I'll be the best candidate for Doniana County Sheriff. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Eugene Alvarez.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Eugene Alvarez. I retired from the New Mexico State Police and the Mesilla Marshal's Office. I was fortunate enough after that gaining a position as an in-school suspension teacher at Santa Teresa Middle School. I left there after a year and did my 8 years as a substitute teacher at Santa Teresa High School. Going to school, did my student teaching, obtained my bachelor's degree in criminal justice administration, and my master's in secondary education. And I think that there needs to be a change in Doniana County, and especially in law enforcement. And I believe that a well-rounded candidate that has not only law enforcement experience, also other professional experience, like I have in the Gadsden School District, which I still work there today, and along with the Las Cruces Public School in the past, and El Paso School District.
And Vanessa Ordonez.
Hi, good morning, buenos dias, and muchas gracias por tenerme aquí ahora esta mañana. My name is Vanessa Ordonez, and I am running for Doniana County Sheriff. What qualifies me to serve as a sheriff isn't just a title. It's a record of leadership, results, and accountability. I'm a first-generation American and a U.S. Navy combat veteran. I've also built my career on discipline and on service. I understand what it means to lead under pressure and to make decisions when it matters the most. I most recently served as a chief of police in the city of Anthony, where I led the department to becoming the first safest city in New Mexico. I didn't inherit that success. It took time over years. It took teamwork. It took community involvement. And I think we were very successful under my leadership. That didn't happen by chance. It took strong leadership, clear expectations, and a commitment to always doing things the right way. I have managed multi-million dollar budgets, ensured taxpayer dollars were used responsibly and effectively. I have revised policies and procedures. I've implemented a criminal investigations division to ensure that we were more independent of the services that we were providing to our community.
Okay. Thank you very much. Peter, you get the first question.
What grade would you give the current sheriff for her performance over 8 years? And in a sentence, not a long disquisition, but in one sentence, why that letter grade?
Who do you want to start with?
Ms. Lozano, you're right across from me, so.
That was an easy target. I would say I would give a solid B. You said letter grade, right?
Yes.
Okay, I would give a solid B. I think that people do the best they can with what they have. I think, you know, she's done a really good way of represent, a really good, she's had a good approach of representing different groups, right? Okay. I mean, as a woman, I can say it's admirable that she represented.
Gotcha. Mr. Fritz.
Thank you. James Fritz. I'd give her a D. That's because there's failure to support the deputies with inside the agency, civilian staff as well, and the failure to cooperate with other law enforcement agencies within the area. Thank you.
And Mr. Alvarez.
I'd give her a B, and I would say that probably in the last couple of years she's had difficulty in dealing with the county manager. And, of course, the last two administrations have had problems with the county management, and that needs to be fixed. We cannot run an organization by court orders.
Mr. Day.
John Day. I'd give her a solid C. Initially, we're knocking out of the ballpark, but seemed to have a little bit lost our direction and way in what we were going to do to better help the community, and became too far entangled into personal battles between management and district attorneys.
Ms. Ordonez.
Thank you. So I would rank her between an A and a B, and I speak about that because my working relationship with her as a police chief over the entire tenure, pretty much of 8 years, has been very positive. I have had a very good working relationship with her, as I have other leaders in our community. Thank you.
You're going to include Mr. Reyes on the phone.
Yes, I forgot you because I don't see you. But you are not least.
I appreciate it, sir. Give her a seat. So it was clear in the first term that she had good ideas and a vision for the department, but it seemed to have waned, and accountability, transparency started to deteriorate, and truly no partnerships with local departments, with federal departments, had an impact on safety and security in our community.
Thank you very much. Before we get into the topics, and I very do much want to talk about the relationship with the county commission and other things, but I'd like to start by just asking you a basic question about leadership. And the two-part question. The first part is, what do you think are the qualities of a good leader? And the second part is, what do you think your own personal leadership style or traits, how would you describe your own leadership style? And I think we'll just, Mr. Fritz, we'll start with you, and we'll just go kind of clockwise as we do these first.
Thank you, this is James Fritz. Qualities of a good leader is ability to listen to others. There's a time and place that you can plan accordingly to bring the group to the table and bring everybody's leadership and everybody's ideas to the mission, and always stay mission-oriented. Don't discount anybody, as well as there's always going to be the times when you have evolving incidences where you have to take command, and I have those abilities based upon my experiences and exposures. My personal style of leadership is servitude, because you always have to keep in mind that your goal is to serve your community and to serve your personnel that you lead, and thereby bringing everybody to the table, as I said earlier, as well as sharing the ideas and making sure we have clear goals that are achievable with the available resources, if not find the resources. Thank
Very
you.
Good. Mr. Reyes, we're going to put you kind of after Mr. Fritz from here on going forward, so we'll give you that one next. Please describe what you think a good leader is and your own leadership style.
Absolutely. Thank you again for the opportunity. So your leader is defined by his ability to listen to subordinates, collaborate with team members, his command staff, understanding that they're never the know-all of all things, right? I understand that I have my faults and I have my blind spots, but leaning on those executives that are part of my team is absolutely critical in leading an organization. I have a democratic servant leadership style that feeds exactly into what I just spoke about. Collaboration, including your command staff, recognizing that decisions are not made in a vacuum. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Alvarez.
I believe in leadership by example, and I would set the example, and I would be a working sheriff. And I'm not going to sit in the office, you know, on a lot of supervisors that have reached certain ranks. Folks sit in the office and make decisions that affect the rank and file and affect citizens of the community that are most affected by law enforcement, and without taking what's happening, how that results of those decisions and choices are affecting the rank and file and the other law enforcement agencies, as well as the other agencies, the nonprofits, the district attorney's office, so that's how I look at leadership.
Very good. John Day?
John Day here. I think that qualities of a leader, of a good leader, is definitely going to be honest, transparent, collaborative, and then brave. A good leader needs to be able to step up when to the plate when they need to step up, step into the breach, as one would say. My leadership role and the ways that I've led through leadership is answering the hard questions when it's time to answer those questions, and to step into the breach and stand up for those that nobody will stand up for, or speak for those that have no voice, and to be goal-oriented and to get things done. Because we can all talk, but unless we complete our missions and get things done, then we're just talk. So,
Ms. Lozano? Oh, I'm sorry, Ordonez.
It's okay.
I apologize.
So I mean, I led a department to the first safest city, so it really, you know, you have to embrace your officers and respect them with professionalism. I think it's really important to be emotionally intelligent to what their needs are, especially as it relates to personnel matters, you know, if they're in trouble or if they need, you know, performance improvement plans or whatnot, just to better serve the community. I really think that officer wellness is really important in that process. And so if we don't have wellness in our officers, they're not going to be well serving our public. So we have to be mindful of that. Compassionate leadership to me is also really important. I think I'm a more of a democratic style leader, but I can adapt to different styles as needed because it's very fluid in this, you know, type of leadership. Right. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And now, Ms. Moody.
Gabriela Lozano. So I think some of the qualities for a good leader really are, like Mr. Fritz mentioned earlier, service is probably one of the things that I believe are very important in leadership, being dedicated to serve, and humility, I think, is one of the most important to me. Having good integrity. And for me personally, I think my leadership is rooted in having humility and being dedicated to serve people who don't always have a voice. So I think that's me.
Thank you.
Instead of going in order, I'll throw this question out, and the first person who wants to answer it should do so. Everybody has mentioned in one fashion or another today or at other fora, transparency and having more transparency. What specifically, because I think that's one thing the current sheriff has done well, what specifically would you do that she's not doing to increase transparency?
If I may, I think she's doing.
Please identify yourself.
Vanessa Ordonez. I believe she's doing a great job with transparency. However, there's always room for improvement. And so in my opinion, what I see transparency is timely. I see it as visible. I see it as, you know, using your technology to also communicate to the public, you know, just to share those.
So again, my question was, what specifically would you do that she's not doing?
I would say more of the technology piece to it, you know, more of the recognition of the officers on patrol, like what they're doing, you know, well in the community, and highlight those efforts. I think that's important.
Anybody else want to take a shot at that one?
John Day here.
Yep.
I think that the thing that we could improve the most for more transparency is actually have more open communication with the public and with the communities. We kind of shut down in this 10-year community meetings and actually meeting with people and having conversations with them, or even just outright discussing both the good and the bad within the organization. I think it's important to bring that to light and to show the public that we are truly where we're at and what we're doing. And so I think more open communication would be more important.
Open meetings.
Meetings or using technology, as Vanessa just said, even in the day and age now of you know, TikTok videos and social media, we can push things out to be more open to the public.
Thank you.
Mr.
Reyes, yes.
Yes, so when it comes to transparency and accountability, the one thing that I will do, and this is the part that, differentiates me from the others, is I make these commitments. I will establish a citizens advisory council to give the community true voice in the direction of the sheriff's department. And I'll establish a use of force review board that includes civilians on reviews of use of force to really grow on our accountability, hold me accountable, hold the deputies accountable, to the community. This is the one thing that differentiates me from the others, is I'm actually making these commitments.
Ms. Lozano.
Gabriela Lozano. I believe that my approach to how I would bring transparency now is, I think I would have a more data-driven approach to some things. but things that the public, like meeting people where they're at, and really not including jargon that only us that are familiar with the law enforcement field are familiar with. So really being able to get out into the community. And, you know, we have a large Spanish-speaking community, so being able to have an open line of communication with both in English and in Spanish, which I am fluent in both languages, I think that's probably what I would bring different to the table.
Thank you. James Fritz, in reference to the question on transparency, is I want to build my leaders as my sergeants, my patrol sergeants. They're the ones that are actively in the community and are going to calls of services with the deputies. My sergeants are the first line, as well as my patrol deputies, are the first line of communication and contact with the public. To bring the sergeants into the community, to have them go to community meetings, and myself included, because they're going to be the immediacy of knowing what's going on. So my sergeants are going to play a large role, and it will be pushed upon them to be community members in their respective districts that they patrol, as well as myself. Thank you.
Eugene Alvarez, and I totally agree with meeting people where they're at. Not only meeting people where they're at when you're dealing with mental health, but meeting people where they're at physically. So you have to be out there in the community. You have to be in the unincorporated areas of the county and not just stay in Las Cruces. You know, just because the office is here, you don't stay in the office. And I think that's one of the problems what every administration has had throughout not only Doniana County, but throughout the nation. When you see these press conferences that happen with mass critical incidents, sometimes you get two or three different stories from two or three different people. It needs to be the same story with the same person. It's either going to be the leader, the sheriff, the administration. And I've always felt that the commander or the investigator that is investigating, if he has the time, they're the ones that should be able to give the story.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's happened a lot in Texas.
Yeah. I want to get back to going around again on this one. I think, Mr. Reyes, you're going to go first on this one, if you could. The question is, what role, if any, should the county sheriff's office play in assisting with federal immigration enforcement? Should we be accepting the grant money that is available to agencies for that role? And if we decide not to help out with immigration, does that impact in any way our ability to work with other federal agencies that we do need to work with in other areas to solve crime? So, Mr. Reyes, you're the first to go on that one.
Thank you again, Rafael Reyes. So, as sheriff, I'll strengthen partnerships with local, state, and federal agencies. I've got the experience forming task forces, specialized units, as I said, leveraging each other's resources and authorities where it's appropriate, right, to combat narcotics, to combat human trafficking, to combat the various things that impact law enforcement in our community. But I'll be clear, immigration enforcement is exclusively the responsibility of the federal government. As Doniana County Sheriff, we are limited through House Bill 9 from asking immigration questions when we do stops. As sheriff, I will not seek 287G agreements with ICE, and I'll continue the moratorium on Operation Store Garden grant funding, not because of some anti-ICE ideology. That is not the case. But immigration enforcement does not make us safer, right? It contributes to what is known as the dark figure crime, crime that goes unreported, but we know happens. And so as a Doniana County Sheriff, right, my responsibility, my sole purpose is to serve the citizens of Doniana County, the residents of Doniana County, and making sure that all citizens, non-citizens feel safe to call us when they're a victim of a crime or they've witnessed a crime.
Thank you very much, Mr. Alvarez.
Eugene Alvarez, I believe zero cooperation when it comes to immigration enforcement with Border Patrol or ICE. Of course, we have an obligation to respond to life and death calls, service calls that when they need emergency assistance. But other than that, as long as we have the administration that we have in Washington, D.C. right now, you know, there's no way to even associate ourselves with these organizations because they are violating the Constitution. you know, and I don't see an improvement until we have a change in the administration.
John Day.
John Day, I've said several times across this county is that federal immigration and enforcement of federal laws is done by federal officers, and to entangle state and local into that is not the right thing to do. The Sheriff's Department is about protecting the people in this community. And if we have to protect them sometimes from an overreach in positions, we have to. We have to maintain the peace as a sheriff and maintain the peace within the county. Now, federal funding, though, is a whole different matter. We're a very poor county and in some ways in a very poor state. So we don't have the resources available like other jurisdictions may have. I would hate to close a door that would provide money to us to be able to assist and help people, because I can tell you from watching us closing a door at Inningstone Garden in 2019-2020, we started having multiple more bodies out in the desert area. People trying to come to this country, it should not be a death sentence to come to the United States of America. We are a very prosperous and great country, and I understand why people want to come here. Mm-hmm. And so, like I've said in other locations, is that it's very important for us as a community to unite around this issue and be able to push our legislators to change laws to make immigration easier for people to come to the United States and to legally come to the United States. And so I would not want to stop us being able to have the resources we need to be able to save people's lives.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Ordonez.
Thank you, Vanessa Ordonez. So I believe that when local agencies partner too closely in that environment of the federal funding and immigration enforcement, the public may not be able to distinguish between local law enforcement and federal immigration enforcement. So I believe that that can create fear. I think there's a reduction in cooperation, and ultimately it does impact public safety. So the optics, for me, they're just not political. I think they are operational. And if the community starts to lose trust, people stop reporting crimes and working with us, and that makes a serious impact on public safety.
And Gabriella Lozano.
The question. What was the question again?
The question was, what role, if any, do you think the county sheriffs would play in helping immigration enforcement? And should we accept the Stone Garden? It's kind of three part. Should we accept the Stone Garden funding? And if we do not assist in either of those things, what potential impact could that have in our relationship with other federal agencies, drug? In a myriad of different other criminal cases.
Sure. Well, as local agencies, we don't assist in immigration authority. We don't have immigration authority. So, I mean, that's an absolute no. If they asked, you know, for us to participate in something like that, the answer is absolutely not. As far as funding goes, I think we have to understand the guidelines within. I mean, all federal funding has guidelines. So, obviously, if the guideline says we are going to enforce immigration, then no, we're not going to take that funding. But I think it takes a strong administrator to really understand what those guidelines are so that we can either accept the funding or not. But if it's going to require us to enforce immigration, then no.
We are at the top of the hour, so I need to remind people that you're listening to KTAL LP 101.5 FM in Las Cruces. And Mr. Fritz.
Thank you, James Fritz. No, the Doniana County Sheriffs will not participate with immigration enforcement with ICE or U.S. Border Patrol. It'd be a direct violation of House Bill 9, putting the position of the county into a position of liability. So, no, we won't. In reference to the finances, there's additional grants out there. There's hundreds and thousands of grants. And as a leader, that's what you're required to do. If there's a source that's shut down, you find an additional resource for funding, whether it's just overtime or whether it's going to be for equipment or both. So you have to think outside the box as a leader, not put us in a position of liability and find additional resources. As far as assistance with other federal agencies, there's not a problem with that. In reference to immigration, it touches the line a little bit when it comes to enforcement with human trafficking. Are there immigrants involved? Yes. But you're going after the individual that brought them here for human trafficking. So assisting other agencies is not out of the question on the federal side, but it is when it comes to immigration enforcement. Thank you.
Mr. Reyes has not answered, I think, yet.
I was first. You can answer it if you like.
Did you answer that one? Sorry.
I did.
My bad. Appreciate your answers to that. Very similar. So I'm going to ask a question since we don't care about your ideology. You're not legislators or commissioners or presidents. Care more about who you are and how you are with other people. So this may be an offbeat question, but starting with Mr. Alvarez, what is a book or movie that influenced you a lot at some point, and how did it influence you?
Well, one of my favorite movies is Tombstone. And one of the reasons was that a lot of it was filmed up in northern New Mexico, and I was part of the security detail. But I always have connected to the Old West. So, you know, that's it.
Mr. Day.
John Day. What? That's hard. I love to read, and so that's a hard question there. What's your favorite book or favorite movie? I think in the movie archetypes, I've always been a true and great big fan of Star Wars. And so I love the archetypes that are delivered in Star Wars. I think they touch across a great field out there of, you know, good versus bad. The hero stands in the breach. You know, the nature versus mechanical world. There's a lot in that that I think wraps up human development and who we are and helps shape us. And so that's really kind of driven me since I was a kid. And I've always been a big fan.
Ms. Ordonez.
I like the movie Frida Kahlo. I think, you know, owning your identity is really important. I'm a first-generation American, and I really, you know, believe that we have to work hard for the things that we want to accomplish, and we have to, you know, set an example and also just work into turning and breaking barriers and the expectations. I think that's going to be my response to that is Frida. Thank you.
Ms. Lozano.
Well, that's a hard one. I do love
to
read.
Gee, sorry.
I love to read, and I love inspirational movies. So I would have to say, I'm going to have to give you two because I can't pick. Freedom Riders is probably one of my all-time favorites. And then there was one recently with the astronaut, Jose Hernandez. And obviously coming from, my dad was originally born in Jalisco, Mexico. And I identified with those struggles, right? I didn't go through the struggles, but I identified with my dad's struggles. And then Freedom Riders, because I think that there's just a broad perspective of what everybody's view of just communities is. So even like their perspective of those, the perspective of those students in law enforcement, I think those are my all-time favorites.
Mr. Fritz.
Thank you. Thank you, James Fritz. Reference to a movie, it was with Sam Elliott and reference to the Vietnam when they were in the movie. And I believe it wasn't the Eschau Valley, but it was the 101st Airborne that went in. Excellent leadership styles and skills that they had. It was with Mel Gibson. I just can't remember the title right now. Huge, huge planning process of the whole operation. Mitigating immediacy of action required. Excellent leadership style. It's something to follow. Thank you.
Mr. Reyes.
So, Once an Eagle, a book written by Anton Meyer. I've read it twice. Fictional character, Sam Damon, his career through the military from First World War through Second World War, speaks to courage, to character, to living your values. It is an amazing book. Required reading for incumbent leaders in several organizations. I would recommend it to anyone looking to really learn about, you know, truly living your values and having that courage to lead individuals in the most critical of times.
Thank you. I want to ask about the issue that Mr. Alvarez brought up earlier, and that is the friction that has existed between the Sheriff's Department and the County Commission. It seems to not matter whether it was Sheriff Stewart and the current County Commissioner or Sheriff V. Hill and the County Commission under Julia Brown when he was famously slapped with a subpoena during the middle of a TV interview. And I guess my question is, it seems like that's more than just personality clashes. It seems like there is very structural barriers between the sheriff's office and the county commission that are causing that friction. Do you see it the same way? And if so, what could be done? Can we go to the legislature? Is the fix needed there? What could be done to heal that so that there's a more cooperative relationship between the two? Mr. Alvarez.
Eugene Alvarez. I was fortunate enough to work as a background investigator under Sheriff Vigil. And, of course, Major Day has a lot more experience than I do. But what I saw was basically a lot of lack of communication and the lack of the knowledge of how the county is under policies and procedures. The county manager runs all the employees except the sheriff and the undersheriff and the executive secretary and, of course, the other elected officials and their appointees. Okay, so that's what you have to understand right off the bat. You're not going to go in there as sheriff and start making all kinds of demands, especially when it comes to assignments and disciplinary action. And, you have to work in cooperation with the county manager. The county manager is in there with the county attorney and the county HR director and following the direction from the Board of County Commissioners. So that's what you have to understand. And you have to communicate, you have to cooperate, and you have to collaborate. And you have to treat the whole situation with, you know, showing everyone dignity and respect and respecting their position and their positions and authority, and that you're not just going to demand and you're not going to go out and do things. Right. So I think that's what has happened. You know, everybody wants to be in a powerful position, but nobody wants to take responsibility and accountability, and also when the transparency when it comes to communicate with the whole organization and right. then with the public.
John Day.
John Day here. I think there's a real big misconception within the public of what the powers of a sheriff are and what a sheriff's able to do. The legislation in the state of New Mexico has really kind of limited that down to very specific things. And when you look at what the sheriff's office here in Doñana County is that the employees of the sheriff's department are DASA or Doñana County employees, so not sheriff's employees. The sheriff is just the elected official who can help give some guidance. And so one of the struggles that I've seen through many administrations is that sheriffs are constantly fighting against that role of I'm the boss, so I'm in charge. But the reality is that you're not. You're there to help guide and try to be the voice and the will of the people in law enforcement. But the employees themselves are from the county. And so that rock-like mentality of I'm not going to open myself up to communicate causes these big old strifes. And then you have power struggles that occur from that. And so the way to curb that is just far more open communication and to know your role and know that you're there to guide and to give guidance and to give direction and set forth where we should be going. Right. But into the direct personnel matters of the department, those are still they're county employees because it's a merit-based system. And so as a sheriff, as me being sheriff, is that I have the ability from working for years with the county and working with county management to have open dialogue and conversations with them so we don't see the repeats of trying to take over jails or right. trying to fight with district attorneys or however that's going to be.
I apologize for asking such a complicated question so late in the interview, but I'm going to have to ask for a fairly shorter answer so that we can give you all a chance to wrap up. Vanessa Ordonez.
Vanessa Ordonez. So I think improving the relationship between the sheriff's office and the county commission, it really comes down to three things, and I'll make it brief: clarity, communication, and shared accountability. I think that clarifying those roles is critical. I think that we need to give the sheriff the authority that they need to execute their duties effectively so that they are providing, the best quality service, again, to the people of our community and to the sheriff's department. Communication also has to be consistent and proactive, and I also believe that we have to stay focused on those shared outcomes. That's my response, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gabriela Lozano.
For me, I think that we need to remember that both the sheriff and the county commissioners represent the people. They're all elected. So we need to find an approach that ultimately represents the people that put them in those positions. Fighting isn't always going to get you where you need to be, but proper representation of your people and remembering why you're there.
James Fritz.
Thank you. James Fritz. In reference to the role of the sheriff, exactly right. You're working for the people. And the employees are employees of the Doniana County entities. They're not your employee specific. But what's happened in the past is there's a lack of administrative skill set that's understood in your role, and understand that you're still working for the public in your position as well as the commissioners and the county government, and always remain focused on the mission and mission-oriented that you're going to be successful for the people.
Mr. Reyes.
Thank you. Look, effective law enforcement doesn't happen in isolation. It requires strong relationships with the elected leaders to oversee the county's priorities, the budget, long-term planning. I've demonstrated that throughout my career. Consistent ability to work across party lines. You can look at the pictures on my website. I've negotiated with agencies, coordinated conflict.
Okay, we've got to wrap it up. I appreciate it. I want to give everybody, before we go, a chance to let people know if they want to learn more about your campaign. Do they have you have a website, or where could people go to find out more about you? Mr. Reyes, we'll let you go first very quickly with that one.
Thank you. RafaelFordaffo.com. RafaelFordaffo.com. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Alvarez.
Eugene Alvarez, the best way to get me is on Instagram, Jane for Doniana County Sheriff.
John Day?
The best way to get hold of me is on www.johndayforsheriff.com, or call me, 575-644-2160. I'll answer any phone calls that come my way.
Very good. Vanessa Ordonez?
Yes, it's for Vanessa Ordonez, it's vanessaforsheriff.com. That is my website, and my Facebook is Vanessa Ordonez. And you can also contact me if you have any questions through the website portal. There is an opportunity for email and contact information. Thank you.
Gabriella Lozano.
For me, it's lozanoforsheriff.com. And I also have an Instagram that's lozanoforsheriff. And everybody's more than welcome to reach out to me.
And James Fritz.
James Fritz for Sheriff on Facebook. And just message me and I'll be happy to get back with you. Thank you.
I want to thank you all so much for joining us. We're going to take...
Reyes.
Mr. Fritz.
Reyes.
I'm sorry. We started with him. Yeah.
Yeah,
he went. So I want to thank you all for joining us. We are going to take a quick break right now. And when we come back, we'll be talking with the Republican candidates. We'll be back in just 1 minute.